Well, could I first of all thank Mr. Gibson for the warm words of welcome to your congregation here in Coleraine, and also to the Reverend Irwin for the opportunity to come along and share in your prayer meeting here this evening. As our brother has already said, we had a very nice drive up, if nothing else, and I was just thinking we weren't too far away really from here. Just a couple of weeks ago we had a baptismal service on White Rocks Beach. In fact, I said to my son, him and a couple of his friends are up there surfing today, and I said, you can put your surfboards in the car and come on over to the prayer meeting, but I don't see any of them when I look around here. But nonetheless, we're glad to be here with you, and we do trust the Lord will bless each one of us this evening. Could you turn in your Bible, please, to the Song of Solomon? We just want to read a few verses there together. I don't plan to preach very long tonight. I know our meetings, midweek meetings, are a little bit shorter still with the virus being about, but nonetheless we want to share some thoughts with you. Reading in the Song of Solomon, and it's chapter 2. I'm sure everyone here is aware that throughout this book we have a lovely description of the Lord Jesus, that is the heavenly bridegroom, and the church, that is us that are saved, and the relationship that there is between us. It shows us so much of, well, of our faltering love toward him and his unchanging love, great love toward his people. Song of Solomon chapter 2 and verse 1. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. Amen. We'll end the reading there, and we trust the Lord will bless his word to all of our hearts. I want to draw your attention this evening, just for a wee while, to verses 3 and 4 of this chapter. But we'll just unite our hearts together in prayer now, please, before we turn to the word. Father in heaven, we're thankful again tonight for the opportunity just to collectively come to the throne of grace and commit ourselves as best we know how to the Lord again. And Lord, you know the need of every heart and every home. You know every anxiety and care that there is. And Lord, we pray that now for this season, Lord, in the meeting tonight, that we might be able to set at least some of our concerns aside, and that we might know what it is to have sweet communion with the Lord. Lord, we thank you for the Bible, and we pray as we look now at the scriptures for a while, that the Lord himself would draw near and use his word to help us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You'll probably not find another book in all of the Bible that, as I mentioned, does show us more clearly and intimately the great love that the Lord has for his church. The bride here, which we see as the church, of course, she describes him in verses 3 and 8 and verse 9, 10 and 16 of this particular chapter as his beloved. As her beloved, and that is still the same today, ladies and gentlemen. The Lord still loves his church. We love him because he first loved us, but we know that our love can wane, and we can become slack in our devotion to him, but it is always a great comfort for all of us to know that he loves us with a love that knows no change. These are challenging times, there is no question. I'm sure all of you will agree with that. And with this pandemic, there has been many areas of life impacted, not just our meetings and how we run them, and indeed, in some cases, some of our friends have been finding difficulty just coming back to meetings again. But there has been an effect upon the well-being of many people. And there are those who are suffering from great anxiety, many who once were out and about all of the time are finding it difficult to go out of their homes. And there are yet others who, because of what the pandemic has meant for so long now, are suffering from, well, emotional imbalance. And they need, we all need, that touch from the Lord continually. So as we think of these two verses, verses 3 and 4, where the church here, the bride, she compares the Lord Jesus to an apple tree. And as we look at that this evening, I want to speak to you upon the message I have given the title to, Just Sit Down for a While. Just sit down for a while. Every day I'm meeting with people who are very stressed. I've already mentioned anxiety and emotional imbalance. And with children being back to school now in our own home and the homes of our friends, we know that this is causing quite a bit of concern with the COVID still being quite rampant in places. And it is good now, and of course it is good all the time, to just sit down for a while. Sometimes our minds are frenzied, and it is good to take that time to sit down with him. And we're going to look at these verses, and I want you to notice here, first of all, there is the thought of rest. The church here, the bride says, I sat down under his shadow, and it's under the shadow of the tree. I'm from near Loch Gall in County Armagh originally, and I know all about apple trees. When I was growing up, we had one at the side of our house that we used to play in, and we know that in the summertime, when the leaves were all there, it was always good, if you were too warm, to go and sit down under the tree. And it was down there very often that you found rest. And folks, with all of the strain of living right now, I think it's essential that we take that time to sit down to rest in his presence. When the Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Philippi, I'm going to read you what it says here in chapter 4. He was writing to them there, and he knew that they were anxious about many things. And he said to them in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, be careful for nothing, and the word careful meaning excessive anxiety. Don't be excessively anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And it says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You will see here that in the context, he is mentioning the thought of them being very anxious. Now, if you look at the very beginning of this chapter, you'll see that there were two ladies that were at odds with each other in verse 2. And there were, I'm sure, many other things for this young church that were causing them concern. And he says, be over and anxious for nothing, or careful for nothing. And then he goes on to tie it in with seeking the Lord. He says there, with supplication and thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. It was coming aside and resting in him. Coming aside and resting in him. Now, over in Luke's Gospel and chapter 10, we see the importance of this again emphasized, where we have the case of Mary and Martha. And the Lord Jesus is at their home now. And, well, Mary, doesn't seem to be doing a lot of housework at the present time. And Martha, she feels she's troubled with everything that she has to do, and Mary isn't really helping her very much. And verse 41 of Luke 10, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. That word trouble, this is the only place where this word is used in the New Testament. It means not just to be a bit annoyed, but it means for the mind to be in turmoil and to be disturbed. So really, Martha now is in quite a state. And then the Lord goes on to say, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Where was she? She was at the Savior's feet. She had taken that time aside to rest with him. And as she was there, there would be soul benefit for her. She may obtain more grace. And she would know what it was to have that close communion with him. And the Lord Jesus here is not only reminding Martha, but surely he's speaking to all of us of the importance of coming aside, just like you're doing tonight, in the busyness of life, taking that time to come aside and to wait at his feet, to rest in him. Over there in 1 Corinthians and chapter 15, if you read that chapter, you will understand that the Lord, especially in the latter part of it, is trying to encourage the believers concerning those who have gone before and the future for all who know the Lord, that the future is bright, ultimately for everyone who is saved and for all who die in the Lord. And at the end of that chapter, in verse 58, he gathers up his thoughts and he says to them, therefore, in other words, because of what I've just told you, therefore, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, the word I want to draw your attention to just at the moment is the word steadfast. It says there, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. And then he's talking to them about the work of the Lord. And surely, as you and I know, the prayer meeting is a big part of the work of the Lord and coming aside to rest in him. Well, the word steadfast, while it does mean to be steady, the word in the original actually means to take a seat. To take a seat. So he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, take a seat. And surely he's implying here with the word steadfast the importance of resting in him, sitting down under his shadow, coming aside from the things that stress us and cause us great concern during the daytime, and coming here tonight to just sit down for a while. There is the thought of rest, but there's also here the thought of reassurance, because she says, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow. That, of course, is literally in the shade of the tree. And I don't know about you, but I am constantly needing reassurance. And I think it's fair to suggest that the vast majority of Christians, whether it was always like this or not, I don't know, but certainly the vast majority of them nowadays are needing reassurance continually. And over there in the book of Job and chapter 40 and verse 22, I'll just read the words for you. It says, the shady trees cover him with their shadow. He's referring to the creature mentioned in verse 15 of that chapter called Behemoth. And whatever Behemoth exactly was, it was a huge creature. And then he says in verse 22, the shady trees cover him with their shadow. And that reminds me that there is no limit to what the Lord is able to do for his people. His shadow will be as big as your need. And you and I, as we come to him for reassurance, we can be reassured that we will find it. You think of Elijah, who had experienced a red letter day in his life when he dealt with the prophets of Baal. And then, amazingly, for a man who wasn't easily frightened, he ran for his life at the poisonous words of an infamous woman, Jezebel. And such was great Elijah's state of mind. And when we think of him, we realize that there was anxiety in those days too, and lots of stress. He ran away out into the wilderness. And he asked the Lord to take him away, to take his life. But when the Lord met with him there, you can read in 1 Kings chapter 19 yourself, when the Lord met with him at the cave, the Lord spoke to him. And you see, Elijah was at least willing to listen because he came out to the mouth of the cave. But after the Lord had spoken with him and he'd explained to God how he felt he was alone, I am left. And the Lord said, no, there's 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee to Baal. But his state of mind was such, folks, that he needed reassurance. Well, in that chapter, you will see, that's 1 Kings 19, when the Lord had finished speaking to him, the Lord said, go. He had to go back the way of Damascus. He had to go again. The Lord took him where he was and lifted him up and gave him reassurance. And maybe there's someone here tonight or listening, and what you need right now is the Lord to draw alongside and to reassure you. It all begins with resting in his presence, with sitting down under his shadow. You find the rest of great benefit to us. Take the seat and sit down under his shadow. But then the reassurance is something, as I said, which we need continually. Don't we sometimes sing the words, under the shadow of thy throne, thy saints have dwelt secure. Sufficient is thine arm alone, and our defense is sure. When Paul was writing to the church at Colossae in chapter 3, and in verse, well, I read the first couple of verses to give you a little bit of the context. Colossians 3, this was a church that was under threat from Gnosticism, and they needed bolstered up, and they needed a gracious sense of the Lord's presence with them. He says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. And then he says these reassuring words to them, words that show us all how the Lord is with us. He says, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And Christian, whatever problems you might have tonight, and troubles and worries, that is where you are this evening. You are, your life is hid with Christ in God. And for a whole lot of reasons, not just because of the pandemic, but there are so many questions we can't answer, so many uncertainties, so much that we can't explain. Sometimes we just have to come aside and sit down under his shadow and rest in him the way Mary was, and to seek reassurance from him, just and to remind ourselves that our lives are indeed hid with Christ in God. So coming and sitting down for a while, there is the thought of rest here. There is the thought of reassurance. But then there is the thought of real joy. If you look at verse 3 again in Song of Solomon, she says, I sat down under his shadow with great delight. And the word there, it means with overflowing delight, with that which is not even the normal. Now, sometimes it doesn't take a whole lot to knock the joy out of us and to have us been very downcast. I'll not mention Elijah again. There are a host of others in the Word of God who are in that position, and indeed all of us today. But in the midst of trials, in the midst of trials and troubles which are inevitable in life, you and I can still know joy, because joy is a deep-seated principle. It comes with conversion. It's not dependent on circumstances. And while you may have many, many questions that remain unanswered, and many, many concerns regarding many of the different things concerning your life, you can still know this joy. There are examples in the Bible. If we look there in the book of Acts, Chapter 5, Book of Acts, chapter 5, and verse 41 says there, and this is God's men had been arrested for preaching, being faithful to the Lord. And then they were let go and after they'd been beaten. And it says, and they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Maybe that would help me to deal a lot better with rejection out in the public generally. Or when we go out, whether it's with outreach for a mission or whatever it happens to be. Maybe when we think of this verse, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. You can't naturally do that. But because you're in union with Christ and you have that deep-seated principle of joy, then you may be able to do it. Again in Acts chapter 16, and it's this time verse 25, where it's simply Paul and Silas are in prison, says they sang praises to God and the prisoners heard them. I'll be honest with you tonight, if someone took me and threw me into prison for doing nothing apart from serving the Lord, I wouldn't feel like singing. Or at least I think I wouldn't. But then when you're in the situation, the Lord meets your need, whatever that need is at that time. But here were men, and they were in the prison, and they were singing. They knew what real joy was. Always a great danger in an age of materialism and secularism and terrible humanistic thinking. It's very easy to start looking to other things for real joy, while real joy is found in him. I hope you're enjoying the Lord tonight. And it says there in the Song of Solomon chapter 2 that she sat down under his shadow with great delight. Sin can take, damage that joy. And apart from that, I trust you and I are enjoying the Lord this evening. There's another thought here. It is the thought of resources. Do you see verse 3 again? I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. I knew a few orchards when I was a lot younger, living in the middle of Orchard County, and we knew where the good trees were, if you know what I mean, and which ones to visit at a certain time of the year. And certainly some of them, when you came away from them, you didn't need anything to eat. Maybe our mothers, whenever we went home and weren't able to eat as much proper food, as it were, as we should have been, we had a bit of a job explaining what had happened, that we had called in at the orchard on the way home. But we came away from the orchard satisfied. And folks, Christ is able to satisfy. He's able to satisfy his church today. We find complete satisfaction and sufficiency in him. And we never lose sight of that. Whether the tension builds up over the years and sharing the gospel becomes a lot more difficult and we are curtailed and perhaps we're watched, whatever happens to be, surely the Lord is able to continue to be unto us all that we need. For he is sufficient for his people. Someone said in another hymn, Jesus, the very thought of thee, with sweetness fills my breast. I trust tonight that we will all know that real joy continually. I've another thought here, and it is a thought of rich fellowship. If you look at verse 4 this time, it says, he brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Where it says banqueting there, it literally means the house of delights. The house of delights. And the picture here is of the church, that is you and I, in sweet fellowship. Yes, in sweet fellowship with each other, but in sweet fellowship with the Lord. Now we do that when we come around his table. However often we do that to remember his death, we do that when we are seeking as a fellowship to serve him. But we do that tonight when we come to the prayer meeting. Come to know and to benefit from his house of delights. It says there, his banner over me was love. And in the Bible, the banner is very often is a symbol of victory. You have your challenges and your concerns, and maybe in your own opinion, your failures too. Well, you're in the right place tonight to get into the joy of the Lord again. Here in the prayer meeting, to rest in his presence, to get new reassurance, to experience real joy again, to enjoy rich fellowship with him, and to know victory. As we mentioned, the banner is symbolic of victory. Over there in Romans 8 and 37, the writer enumerates a lot of difficulties that he had. And he talks then about, can these separate us from the love of Christ? He says, nay, but in all these things, right in the midst of them, right when the problem is there, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And where it says more than conquerors carries the meaning of hyper-conquering. Now I would like to experience that more. To go on conquering. And I trust that that will be your experience and mine as well. Realize that my time is limited tonight as far as speaking is concerned. I'm going to leave it there. But I trust as we consider these two verses and just sit down for a while, resting there in his presence under his shadow, finding the reassurance that we need, experiencing the real joy that comes from him, benefiting greatly from rich fellowship, that the Lord will bless you in your own soul this evening. I trust these few thoughts were of benefit to you. We'll go down to prayer now. You know your own needs much better than I do. We all have needs, and I'll just leave it open now, and some brother will lead us off, and then at the time, I think about 5 past or 10 past, I will bring the meeting to a close. So we'll look to the Lord together in prayer.